to Cinemavino.
Hello.
Fun fact about that theme you just heard, the percussion you're hearing that is actually two pepper shakers.
Oh. Sounds like salt to me.
Yeah. I recorded that about a week before Noah was born. Joe was in here cooking dinner, and I ran in here and grabbed two pepper shakers out of the spice rack and said I needed it to record my theme. So she definitely looked at me like I was a weirdo.
Yeah. So am I.
Yeah.
So there we are. So this is going to be another live-to-tape experience for y'all.
Oh.
We're going to take a look at Black Widow, which came out this last weekend in theaters. And also on Disney Plus Premier Access, so for people who want to watch it at home.
Which I did.
Yeah, and yeah. I did as well.
Home. I went to the theater, which was actually evacuated during the end credits because of some sort of security threat. And so I missed the end credit sequence. So
we caught him up, though.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll talk about that a little more later. But a little backstory on this. This Black Widow standalone movie has been in the making for quite a while now. They've been trying to do it for about 8 or 9 years. You know, basically not too long after Scarlett Johansson was cast. Obviously, they cast
her. Really? I didn't know that.
With the idea of spinning her character off more. You wouldn't put that big of an actress in there unless you're going to do something with it. And so it's been what they call development hell for a while. And so they started making it. They filmed this one in 2019 with the idea of releasing it last year. The pandemic intervened, and so it got pushed back. Basically, at a $200 million budget, it was too big to risk losing everything during the middle of the pandemic when people weren't really watching movies anyway. And so it takes the character of Black Widow, basically sets it between Captain America Civil War and Avengers Infinity War. So it kind of functions as a standalone movie, but it also kind of functions as a little bit of a setup for the character in that movie, basically to give you an idea of what she was dealing with between the two films. So I thought they would tie it in a little more to Avengers, but, you know, oh well. So, and it gives a little more of her origin and some of the characters who played a part in her, you know, beginnings in Russia and some of her darker experiences that motivate her. So Scarlett Johansson, it plays Black Widow. Florence Pugh, a British actress who was recently nominated for the Academy Award for Little Women last year, plays Yelena Belova, I believe is the character name.
I think so, yeah.
Basically is Black Widow Mach 2.
But she got best known for, what was the Mayfair movie?
Midsommar.
Midsommar.
Yeah. Yes. And she was great in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wasn't wild about the movie itself, but she was awesome.
Yeah.
Definitely was a well-acted movie. David Harbour from Stranger Things plays Red Guardian.
Uh-huh. And the shitty Hellboy movie.
Yeah, that too. And he was good in that, I thought. He made a decent Hellboy. Mm-hmm. Material was bad, but did you watch that?
Yeah, his makeup was bad too. He just didn't look cool.
Yeah, he got let down. I would like to see him in a better movie.
Yeah, he's a great actor, but it just didn't trip my trigger.
I mean, give Guillermo del Toro a chance with him.
Yeah, Jesus fucking Christ. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I need Hellboy 3 with Pearl Ronman. Fuck. Yeah,
exactly.
All right, now I'm awake. Go.
Yeah. Bringing up Hellboy is like a shot of espresso, perhaps. And we're going to do that in a couple movies, actually. I think that's the next movie we're doing is Hellboy 2.
When Sean gets back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which I watched it. It's great.
After I get done licking his face. God, I miss him.
He does have a beautiful face.
Mm-hmm. He's got a nice, pert little butt cheeks and delightful calves.
He just is wonderfully compact. Mm-hmm. You just want to grab him, hold him, squeeze him.
He's very powerful.
Yeah. You want to give him one of those hugs where you kind of lift him up off the ground, kind of spin him around once.
Mm-hmm. He's a gummy bear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that cuddly son of a bitch.
Tastes like a green one.
Yeah. I won't argue with that. That's probably the most accurate thing you've said all day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a green gummy bear.
Yep. Those would make you horny.
Really?
Is that M&M's?
I thought that was just like the breeze.
So Black Widow.
Okay. Yeah. So you guys saw it at home. I saw it in the theater. I'll start with my own thoughts. I enjoyed it. I really did. I thought, you know, I kind of go into Marvel movies now. They're kind of in a groove to me, and I kind of expect them to have a certain level of quality.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like going to see a Steven Spielberg movie. It's like, you know, it's going to be, even the bad ones are still pretty good. So that's kind of where I am with Marvel. It's like, you know, it's going to be a pretty solid character and pretty respectful to the origin of the character. And it's going to have good actors, good special effects, good weather. It's going to have just everything. So Tay, what were your thoughts? You enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I think I sent a text to you guys right afterwards. I didn't see a lot of the early Marvel films when they like first came out. Seeing this one for the first time, I sent you guys a text. I thought it was one of the best standalones, but that might have been, I didn't see Captain America, Civil War. I didn't see that right when it came out. But I was, even for watching it at home, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Just like you were saying, you kind of expect certain things now when you go into a Marvel movie, and they pretty much did everything. Mm-hmm. And I will say, again, I'm very green with a lot of like the knowledge and information of, you know, comparing it to the comic book or, what's supposed to happen or what the
figures are ringer.
Yes. So that being said, I knew a little bit about it from when it was supposed to be coming out last year. The Red Guardian, from what they did in all the trailers early on, I thought that was going to be a way bigger character. Mm-hmm. And it was not. I did think it was like the perfect comic relief.
Yes.
I really, really enjoyed that character. I wish there was actually a little more of it.
Yeah. And that's a compliment.
Yeah. I will say, the Taskmaster, I know you've actually talked about it a few times in the podcast, and I will say that character didn't seem to have anything to do with the movie. There was, a early fight early on with the car wreck on the bridge, and then that was kind of it, and then one kind of later on, and that was it.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't say part of the story at all. So I was shocked by that. But I never, this is going to sound bad, I never thought of Scarlett Johansson as really an actress. I mean, mm-hmm. I did love her. What was the film she did with,
Lost in Translation?
No. The divorce film from
Euro Trip.
Oh, with Adam Driver.
Yeah.
I don't remember what's that.
Yeah.
Marriage Story.
Yeah. I mean, great actress.
She was phenomenal.
Yeah, she was phenomenal. And I think that was like, oh my God, this girl can act. And I thought that's kind of what happened with this one. Mm-hmm. It's like, and I'd seen her in, obviously the other films, but I was like, man, she actually did pretty damn good in this film.
Very good.
So from the acting standpoint to the action standpoint, the story, again, I wasn't really hoping much for Taskmaster because I didn't know shit about it.
Yeah.
But I knew that is somebody, and they pooped on that, but that didn't bother me.
Yeah. Me neither.
Yeah. I thought they did it really fucking well, and they set it up. Sometimes I do wonder, like, because I know in the comic books there is a lot of comedy. Mm-hmm. It's like, I just keep feeling like, man, these are like comedies with just action in them now.
Yeah.
And it was like, because they're hilarious. Mm-hmm. To me, and I find it so funny to be like, man, this is a $200 million budget mm-hmm. film that is literally, not saying not the crux, but it's like, this is a timeline of the MCU, and they're making this kind of like a fucking comedy, and I love it.
Yeah.
I was like, this is like a big deal, but you're making it a comedy, and I'm here for that.
Yeah.
I really fucking enjoyed it. I think you said in your review as well, there are some things where I was like, and again, that's just movie making. I did feel like I was watching a little bit of the Bourne Identity early on. Yeah. I was like, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And then it was like with the, are we doing spoilers here too?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like the jailbreak scene. I was like, okay. Am I watching, a Bond escape here?
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
the snow.
Yeah. Which is great.
Yeah.
I mean, but I was just like, man, I just see those flashes. Like, is that Daniel Craig in there? I can't see. It's like, but again, that's just movie making. And like, got to knock it to them. They killed it.
Yeah.
They killed it. And so I will say, one of my favorite standalones. And that's me.
I agree.
Yeah.
See what you guys think. I drew an Incredibles parallel too of like the family superheroes.
Yeah.
Like the guy, the older guy, he has trouble fitting into his suit. He's too proud to admit it. It's like, the kids dealing with like everybody's had to suppress their identities and who they are for a long time.
Oh yeah.
And it's like now they have to, in order to beat the bad guys, they have to come together and team up and deal with it that way and realize they're better together.
Nice. I didn't see that, but yeah, I get it.
Yeah. And it was kind of fun in that way. And like you say, they definitely played for more comedy, which I think is a good idea.
Yeah. And, I think I was telling this to Travis the other day. I was like, it is, I'm always so curious especially now with any film, I think we've talked about this in the podcast, like you had a whole year. So, you know, I'm curious if like they went back and looked at anything and was like,
post-production.
Maybe we should do this. And, you know, that is what's going to blow my mind for any of these films that are coming out this year that were supposed to be released last year. It's like, what last minute did they change? What was the original take? You know?
Yeah, you can't, like, when Godzilla versus Kong was coming out, I was like, all right, you have an extra year. Tighten it the fuck up.
Yeah.
No. Like, no excuses. Rule 76, play like a champion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like with F9, you know, the Fast and Furious 9. Yeah. It's like, I mean, and this is going to be a spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, but
please.
There's definitely a race car that goes into space.
Yep.
There's definitely a.
Fuck you, Jeff Bezos.
Ludacris and Tyrese Gibson blast off into space and dock with a satellite in a sports car.
I would watch something with. Who was. Ludacris and who?
And Tyrese Gibson.
I would watch Ludacris and Tyrese Gibson docking in space. Yeah.
With the 2001 theme playing in the background.
And this is, I know we're on Black Widow, but again, you know, my favorite line is, and I'm in the writer's room. We're talking like pre-production. We're working on this script and someone just goes, we're going to outer space.
Yeah.
Like, so what are we doing? No, we're just going to hit this ramp and we're going to dock on this. It's like, And then even Ludacris, Dwayne The Rock Johnson gets the script and goes, I'm here for this.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. We're going to space. Jason
Statham's like, we're going to space. it's like the Gremlins 2 thing, you know, with Key and Peele. It's like kind of what I picture here where it's like, I don't know that the people that bankrolled this were doing a lot of cocaine. But you have to figure they were. It's like, you say Luda in space? Yeah, I need to sign a check. Just pass it over.
A gremlin made of fruits. It's in the movie.
It's like, oh, you mean.
Are we not watching Gremlins 2, The New Batch? Is that not one of our films?
I think it was in the pot, and we certainly can.
We need to.
We can make room.
That one actually might need to be.
Christopher Lee?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. And I think Leonard Maltin, the film critic, gets eaten in that one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's all good.
So Black Widow.
Anyway, Black Widow.
My thoughts on it. I loved it. Thought it was a great film. It was a really good standalone. You get a little of her origin back in the day. And then, like, realizing the Red Room was still a thing. Mm-hmm. And she's been, you know, obviously wanting to wipe the red out in her ledger.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. The whole thing with her and Hawkeye talking about Budapest, you and I remember it very differently. Wasn't even in the movie. I guess he just had like a voiceover or something. They didn't. And obviously the whole thing was about like, oh, well, you know, I killed a little girl to kill a worse guy. And, you know, whatever we did, we blew this 5-story building up and, you know, all that shit. They didn't explain how the villain got away, Smeared Cove or whatever the fuck.
Dreykov.
They didn't explain how he got out of there and how they lived or whatever. David Harbour as Red Guardian was great. Rachel Weisz was great.
She looked good, by the way.
Flo Pugh.
Oh, no, I mean,
delightful Rachel as well.
Weisz,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she looked great.
Mm-hmm. It was, you're right. It was, the first part was Bourne Identity, the second part with the Avalanche area, totally Bond shit. They had their own version of a SHIELD helicarrier, like hiding in, you know, Russian airspace somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Also interesting. My main problem, and nobody else that, you know, reads comics will care, and it's fine, but Taskmaster was so fucked. That was, I wanted to see the movie, but I'm like, it's weird when you already know how it's going to end. You're like, okay, whatever. We're going to go see this movie. Black Widow, spoiler alert, dies in Endgame. We all know this. We know where she's going to end up.
Yeah.
And so while I was still interested to see the movie, all I really cared about was seeing Taskmaster. I'm like, okay, they already fucked up his costume. But I just really want to see him. And I'm like, man, they're not showing him talk at all during the trailers. Like, I hope he's not just like silent the entire fucking time. Yep. They just use him and use his power and that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. In the comic books, Taskmaster is just a dude that has, his power is photographic reflexes. It's not robotic. He doesn't have it downloaded into his brain or anything. He can just see, you know, somebody, with a lariat or at an archery. He can watch Olympics and he can do whatever they do. He's not Captain America. He's not to that level, but like he'll watch stuff. Like he can. It reminds me in The Matrix when Trinity, she's like, oh, I got to fly a helicopter, and they download it
yeah.
to her brain. She's like, okay, I can do it now. That's what Taskmaster can do. Like he can watch YouTube and be like, oh, okay, yeah, I know how to do this now. He's got the monkey see, monkey do power. And he'll even watch stuff in like fast forward so he can do it in almost super speed when he's fighting like.
That's why you love him so much is because he can watch stuff yeah. in fast forward.
Yes, that's true. But he's a like blue collar criminal. He's not super powerful, but he routinely fights obviously the Avengers, Ant-Man, Spider-Man, Captain America, all these guys that are way more powerful than him, but he can hang with all of them. And so you kind of got to respect him. Like he's never one of those villains that shows up. And in wrestling, they call it jobbing or being a jobber. Like they just show somebody cool to get his ass kicked, just so you know how cool the hero is. Whenever Taskmaster shows up, it's always like, oh fuck, we hate fighting this guy. He knows all our moves. The more we fight him, the more he down, you know, can knows exactly what we're gonna do. He's such a fucking bitch to fight, even though he has no real gangster powers, and he almost always like gets away. He basically trains the goons. Four other villains, and he's kind of an asshole like Spider-Man. He talks mad shit while he's fighting you. But the thing about his power is, since he's watching and he can't turn his power off, like stuff that he absorbs sometimes knocks out other personal memories from his past to where he's forgotten who he is.
Yeah.
So all he is kind of this like really blue-collar asshole, just cares about money. And can throw shields and shoot arrows like Hawkeye and shit like that.
Yeah.
He's really cool. I feel like they fucked him up in the movie. It gave me flashbacks of X-Men 2 where the Brian Cox villain in that is using his son who has mutant powers to fight all the other mutants.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Dracov is using his daughter, spoiler alert, she's Taskmaster. In the same role, just like, all right, well, I put a computer in her head so she can know cool dance moves and fight people for me.
Yeah.
That's it. And also, I mean, Marvel has a villain problem because they did the same thing with Ghost in Ant-Man and the Wasp. Ghost is supposed to be super espionage, person like a, a stealthy espionage person that like, that booby traps shit and fucks up corporations.
Yeah.
None of that was in that character in the movie. And at the end of it, they were like, well, maybe she's kind of good. So they did the same thing with Taskmaster in this. They were like, they took an awesome villain. And then at the end, they're like, well, they're not really bad. They might be kind of good eventually.
I got a little bit. Okay. This might be controversial. I got a little bit of like Batman and Robin, like Schumacher, like Bane. Kind of thing where it's like,
oh, yeah,
Taskmaster is like a wind-up villain. Mm-hmm. It's like where, you know, it's like, okay, you go that way, kick their ass. You know, it's like, oh, yes, bomb. So it's like it could have been anybody. It's an action figure, but in a movie. It's like a wind-up toy.
Yeah, and it takes away from her origin. Obviously, Disney doesn't want to say, oh, Black Widow is a child murderer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you know what? You're okay. You just like viciously scarred her and her life was all shit, but you freed her.
Yeah.
You know, 20, 30 years later, it's fine.
And that is a dark, like a potentially dark way to just
30 years, but
like fill out her character, you know, to do that. And like that she, you know, potentially blew up a kid.
Yeah.
But it's like you know, after we just did Batman Returns, they kind of, Disney definitely has that wall that they won't like climb over, you know, where it's like these can have like dark stuff. They definitely allude to stuff like trafficking and, you know, abduction and mind control manipulation. It's like there's some dark themes in here, but they always kind of bounce back into comedy to help kind of keep it light.
Yeah. Yeah.
They won't take it to that next dark level.
Yeah. I don't think we're ever going to get a Punisher or Daredevil like we did with Netflix with Disney.
It's too gruesome. It's too grisly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, that's one thing. It's like you will have to say that for Tim Burton in Batman Returns. He definitely took it to that darker level. You know, he's not afraid to show a character abandoned by his parents. It's like, to me, at the end of Batman Returns, going back to that movie, it's like you almost feel sorry for the Penguin at the end of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he's pitiful. You know, it's kind of sad. And it's like it definitely explores a darker element to these characters that you don't necessarily see in Marvel.
Yeah.
That's a rare thing in DC that you see that you don't see in Marvel.
Well, I don't want to make it sound like I didn't like Black Widow. I loved it. I was just the part, one of my favorite villains. He's a cult favorite villain. One of my favorite villains I was looking forward to was totally underutilized.
Oh, yeah. Two main scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It hurt my heart.
But they did leave her alive, potentially, to come back later.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's reading stuff online. I know a lot of... A lot of the other fanboys who would just, you know, hated it also, but they were hating it for sexist reasons that they made Taskmaster a female. Like, I don't give a shit about that.
No.
They didn't give her any lines.
No.
Taskmaster had no lines, had no personality, and at the end they were like, oh, she's going to be a good guy. She's freed. And I was like, what? That's one of the best, you know, B-level Avengers villains, and... is going to be used in the past, not fight anybody else, even though he's got powers to mimic other people's powers, and you're not going to show that or utilize that. It'd be just interesting to see her fight several of the other Avengers,
like Captain America.
Yeah,
that to me, back in the 90s, that was the gripe against the Bane character in the Schumacher film, was that there's no lines, no personality. You know, it's like that's just Bane was reduced to just a luchador, strong man. And they drained all of the personality from the comics out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that kind of seems like it was that way here, where it's like it doesn't feel like what people were looking for.
It was just the thing to do at the time to use Bane, because in the comics he had recently like broken Batman's back, and they were like, oh, shit. I mean, that's what you do. When you introduce a new villain, you want to be like, all right, this villain's going to be badass. We have to show him really kick the shit out of the hero.
Yeah.
So that everybody knows he's a threat.
Yeah.
So Bane was all like, oh, shit, he broke Batman's back. This dude's badass. And so obviously they use that in the movie, because that's the thing he's Bane's known for. But while he was that hot of a commodity back in, what, 95, 96, whenever, it came out in 97, I think.
97, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just the year before, they had to like be like, oh, we're doing this Batman movie. We're like, shit, you got to use Bane. He's big right now.
Yeah,
they just had to shoehorn him in.
Yeah. I got my first speeding ticket leaving Batman and Robin. I was in such a hurry to get home and get away from the theater. I remember being angry at what I'd seen. Yeah. It was rough. And it's rough on the theater screen. You can see those giant bat nipples. They look like basketball sized.
Bat crack as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was brutal. And so, I mean, keeping that in mind, now Black Widow was amazing. These Marvel movies are amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
When you've seen the worst, when you've seen the valleys, you appreciate the peaks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, David Harbour, great as Red Guardian. And then I love their whole dynamic with all four members of the family. They were great. I can't remember Rachel Weisz's character's name. It's like Merida?
Melina.
Melina?
Melina. Right.
She was great. Even the, who was the villain named Dracov? What was his?
Ray Winstone.
Yeah, because wasn't he also in?
Sexy Beast.
Yeah.
He was in Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
No, he wasn't. That's interesting.
He was in The Departed as well.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I like him.
I got a little bit, and man, this might be nuts, but I felt a little bit of a loss.
Boner? Oh, sorry.
Well, that's
he typical. Does wear a Speedo in Sexy Beast.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Fine looking man.
Wow.
I got a little bit of a lost vibe when they were going to, like, when Rachel Weisz had the pigs out there and she was dealing with them.
Yeah.
Like, this seems like a station they would stumble to on the island somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking of Snatch.
That too. Yeah, Lock, Stock, and... But yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Also the Guy Ritchie film.
Yeah.
Where Bricktop was like, always beware of somebody that keeps pigs and hide bodies. Also, yeah, that was one of my main things. Like, can somebody help this goddamn pig?
Yeah.
It's like, why am I watching?
Yeah.
I was like, well, somebody let that pig breathe?
Oh, yeah. There were people, you could hear people like squirming and freaking out in the theater when the pig was like gasping.
Oh, it had 11 more seconds.
I mean, my entire opinion on Rachel Weisz's character was hanging in the balance. I was like, let the goddamn pig breathe.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. It's like,
then you kick the damn rabbit.
This is a dark angle for Marvel. If they let a pig suffocate. It's like, that sounds like a pig fainting.
My God.
I will say, after she was like, allowed him to like come back and wake back up and trot off, that's exactly how I sound when I wake up in the morning. When I roll out of bed.
Cinema Vino was brought to you by CPAP machines. Yeah, I mean, what would you guys say on a scale of 1 to 10? My review is obviously out there. What would you guys say?
you know, again, and this is just me not comparing to any other film, but, you know, and I always, everyone's tens are always different. But yeah. I would say maybe, if I'm saying, because for me, I think I'm combining Infinity War and Endgame as one. If I'm considering that a 10 to me, mm-hmm. I'd call this like a 7.5, 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, as you know, standalone, it was a close to an 8 for me, but because of Taskmaster, it's 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. I always think of 10 as like Jaws and like Godfather 1 and 2.
I was just comparing Marvel films. Mm-hmm. It's like if I'm going by Marvel, I'm still saying Infinity and Endgame. That to me is like a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Like I'm just hashtag butthurt about Taskmaster.
That's a great hashtag.
Yeah.
But it's like, to me, if, you know, that's how I approach movie reviews. It's like when I'm doing like, you know, if you give like Goodfellas a certain rating, it's like you're not comparing it to Ace Ventura or Happy Gilmore. You're comparing it to like The Godfather.
Right.
You know, or if you review like Batman, you know, Michael Keaton, you're comparing it to, you know, Christopher Nolan films, or you're comparing it to Christopher Reeve Superman.
Yeah.
You know, you're not comparing it to Citizen Kane. You're not comparing it to, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, we gotta, it's been a pubes age. We do have to review the first Superman movie and the second, because Richard Donner.
Yes.
R.I.P.
I'm totally down to do that. I'm totally down to do that for
sci-fi. We've been talking about it. When did you first meet your wife?
I mean, we're 7.5, coming up 8 years.
Yeah, that's how long we've been talking about watching this movie, because she's never seen it.
Yeah. It's been a while.
That gentleman died in the meantime. He was breathing. When we talked about it, he's not anymore. R.I.P.
Yeah. What a great movie that is. What a great soundtrack. That is the superhero soundtrack.
Fuck. Yes, it is.
John Williams. Did John Williams do another superhero movie soundtrack? I don't think he did.
Oh. What was the... I don't recall much about... Didn't you guys say this had a good soundtrack? Black Widow?
Yeah.
I don't recall it very much. It didn't jump out.
It was nice. I liked it. It wasn't anything particularly... I mean, okay. It was no like Superman or even like Danny Elfman's Batman. Mm-hmm. I will say the DC movies do have great soundtracks. Between that,
Hans Zimmer.
Yeah, even Hans Zimmer. I think he's done some good stuff. I don't know. I think they probably have the edge. I do like Alan Silvestri's Avengers theme.
Yeah, I thought it was a little simplistic, but it's grown on me after the first one.
It fits. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this has been another episode of Cinema Vino.
Yeah, it has.
And we thank you guys. And yeah, another live tape experience.
I like it.
Yeah. And tune in next time. We're going to do Loki. We're going to do a Loki pod.
Justice for Taskmaster.
And wrap up, yeah.
Just.
ButthurtForTaskmaster.com. We're going to wrap everything up and on Loki coming up next. So.
Woot.
We love you.
See you in bat time.
Bye.
To learn more about Cinema Vino, check out our website at cinemavino.net. You can also listen, rate, subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you choose to listen to your podcasts. My movie reviews are available at ToddWoffordMovies.com.